We can be free from us, you know. And you can be free from the opinions of men. Free to serve the Lord and His interests. To seek Him above everything else. His will to be done. God's looking for laborers. Those who will say yes. And I know it's always a good idea to be a yes person in the kingdom. Not in the world, but in the kingdom. Amen. It's always yes to the Lord. Hallelujah. I think the manufacturer knows the product better than the product knows itself. And he knows what's best for the product. Amen. So we do well if we say yes and we learn to say yes and to abide, you know, in him by doing so. You know, the Lord is in the process of preparing a bride, a people throughout the earth for the great day when we will be brought before, amen, the Lord, as a chaste virgin, the Bible says. In other words, we are going to be pure in His sight. And it is a work of grace that God does. Because you and I, we can take care of what we do externally, but one thing we cannot do, and that is change our hearts. And God wants to change the heart, amen. And then the life will follow suit. Hallelujah. Some people are doing the opposite. They're thinking that if they just change some things, some habits, then their heart will improve. No, it doesn't work that way. You got to have a new heart, amen, with new desires, new passions. God gives you a new heart. He takes out the old heart, amen, of stone, and gives you a heart of flesh. And you become a new creation, and you have different desires now. And as we say, a new normal. So what used to be abnormal to me is now normal. And what used to be normal is now abnormal. Isn't that interesting? And some of my friends from before didn't understand what was going on. They really thought I'd gone off the deep end. And I just went off the deep end with Jesus, amen. And I let him catch me right there, hallelujah. He rescued me and delivered me, hallelujah. And I've never been the same since, hallelujah. And he's still working on me. Make me what I really ought to be. You know that one? Okay. All together now. Hallelujah. Thanks for coming today. It's Pentecost Sunday. And the reason I know that is because that's what we've been talking about the last three nights. It's been an incredible couple days. We had some renewal meetings down in Centralia with one of our sister churches. There's four churches that are involved in these. And we're rotating each time to a different location. It started out here. I don't know about you, but I've been having a great time. I think it's the Lord is smiling on us. He's pleased that we're getting together. Amen. Father, I just thank you today for this opportunity to be with your people, Lord, as we are here together in your presence, Holy Spirit. We would ask, Lord, that you would take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us, Lord. Unveil our eyes. Teach us, Holy Spirit. We depend upon you. You are the teacher. And have your way with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, well, Pentecost Revisited. Pentecost Revisited. Watchman Nee. I love Watchman Nee. Some of his books are very rich and very insightful. I don't agree with probably anybody 100%, but I will say that I have very few bones to spit out when I read this stuff. So, you know, we say, well, that was a good message, but there was this and there was that and there was this and there was that. And, you know, if you happen to spit out too many bones, maybe you ought to listen to something else, right? Or somebody else anyways. So anyways, but, you know, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. We cannot know the truth except that God reveals truth to us by His Spirit. You cannot know the heart of God except that His heart is revealed to you by His Spirit. So He gives His Spirit unto His people. And the key is that you must be possessed by the Holy Spirit. He must be in your heart. Amen. But Watchman Nee says the cross grants us position. Because of what Jesus did, He has qualified us to be in His family through His blood, through the new covenant. And then the Holy Spirit gives us experience. So if you are in Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you, you will have experience. There will be evidence. There will be fruit of His Spirit. Amen. It's not that I go out and try to make fruit happen. you will bear fruit if you are in Christ. And the key is that you are in Christ and that Christ is in charge. And that you're giving him permission to be Lord of your life. And this is the part where we struggle and where that other part of us doesn't like to comply. How many know what I'm talking about? All right, I'm talking to somebody here today. So who was that? Okay, so I'm going to... But there's a part of us that wants to rebel, that doesn't want to obey. And so that's the part of us that we have to put to death. We have to deny. That part of us that would push back against the known will of God. And the cross performs the negative work of destroying all which comes from Adam. Cross is an eliminator, amen? God condemned sin in the flesh. And the Bible says that God placed upon Jesus the iniquities of us all. He bore our sin on the cross. He became our sacrifice. He was our Passover lamb. Amen. And he died for the sins of the world. And the sin problem has already been dealt with. But people need to know that. Otherwise, they'll continue to live as a slave to sin. Amen. So the sin problem has already been dealt with in Christ. It's broken. The power of sin is broken in my life. When Christ comes to dwell within me, amen, I become a new creation. And a separation takes place, a sanctification or a separation takes place within me. So I have to make a decision every day who I'm going to obey. My sin nature or the Spirit of the Lord within me. And as you obey and follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, you have life and peace. And that's what God wants his people to enjoy is life and peace. Can you say amen? And so God will allow us to fail over and over again until we come to the place where we realize that, you know, there's just no other way. I just got to come to the end of me. So do yourself a favor and get over you, right? I have to do that. I have to get over me. But that's a negative work. The cross was the negative work, but it was a necessary work. Amen. But the positive work is the work of the Holy Spirit, who is the one who does the building up in Christ. You cannot build, amen, without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that builds up the body of Christ. He's the one that edifies the body. Amen. As through the truth, the revelation of God, we come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen. And we're set free from the lie. So we can walk in freedom. Hallelujah. Because the enemy can only deceive us to the degree that we have believed his lies. And so the world is all crazy because people are believing the lies. And the media is doing a very good job at presenting all kinds of lies to us. But every Christian is really called to seek the presence of God, to seek the presence of the Holy Spirit. So listen, guys, to understand him mentally is not enough. Just believing in God or knowing about God is not enough. Just believing the Holy Spirit exists is not enough. You can acknowledge the truth and yet not be experiencing the truth. And the Christian life will have experience. You will experience God when you're abiding in him. You cannot be abiding in the Lord and not be experiencing him and seeing the evidence of the fruit of his presence, the fruit of the Spirit. So God wants us to know him. He wants us to experience him. Amen. And a lot of people, they go and they learn and they listen and they watch all kinds of sermons and listen to all kinds of CDs. And they're constantly learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You can be very well educated in the Word of God and yet not know the God of the Word. And you cannot know the God of the Word except that the Holy Spirit reveals him to you. And so if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you are abiding in him. There's harmony with the Lord, with the Spirit, and there will be the evidence of his indwelling Spirit called the fruit of love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control and any others. Right. It's all good fruit. Everything comes from God is good. So today being Pentecost Sunday, well, I've had already several messages on this. And I'll tell you what, last night was one of the best presentations of Pentecost that I heard. Brother Richard Gilbert from South Union. Very good message, man. I call him Richard Lionheart because he's one of these really mild-mannered kind of people. You speak to him, he's just very mild and kind of quiet and shy. But boy, I tell you what, when the anointing comes on him, it's like, whoa. He became another man. And that's the thing is, God will take you and I, amen, and use us if we will allow that to happen. How many here are hungry for more of the Lord? Amen. You know why that is? Because God has done that in you. God is the one that creates that desire. He works in us both to will and to do. So we are Pentecostal in belief and in practice. And that means that we pattern ourselves according to the early church. We look at the early church model. We read the Bible. We see what has happened through the book of Acts, for example. And we say, you know what? That's normal Christianity. That's the way it's supposed to look. Amen. And if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, or if you don't believe that the gifts are for today, then you'll live a, well, anemic Christian life. But the kingdom is power. Amen. And the message that we preach is a message of power. Hallelujah. So even Paul said, I don't want you to put your faith in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And if you are abiding in him, again, there will be the evidence. There will be the manifestation of the Spirit and of power in and through your life. And so the original church is our model. And the Jewish Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, or Pentecost, is 50 days after Passover. Passover represents the cross. Amen. The blood of the Lamb was slain. Amen. And the children of Israel were delivered out of bondage of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And 50 days later, amen, it was what? Pentecost. Amen. Well, what is Pentecost? Pentecost is really the feast of ingathering. It's the wheat harvest or the grain harvest. So we also was the time we believe that was the giving of the law on Sinai was also on Pentecost. And so there's a connection between the word of God, amen, and the Spirit coming. And in order for us to be effective witnesses, we must receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, amen, to be empowered to be bearers of the word of God. Because the word that is spoken by the Spirit of God is the word that will transform hearts and lives. Amen. So we need to be in the Spirit, and we need to be able to hear and discern and know the voice of God. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power to be an effective witness. So Passover represents the cross. Amen. Pentecost is the feast of harvest. And they would come and they would offer the, you know, an offering of the new grain of the summer wheat to the Lord. And also represents joy and thankfulness for the Lord's blessing of the harvest. So again, Pentecost is tied to the harvest. And that's why Jesus said, listen, guys, I don't want you to do anything until you wait in the city of Jerusalem. 50 days later, amen, came that time of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. He says, and when you are endued with power, then you shall be my witnesses. Right? And you shall be also in what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We can only do what God has called us to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People can do Christian things, but if it's void of the life or the power of God, then it's not going to be very effective. We can learn how to be a Christian and yet not really be a Christian. There are people who have learned how to act like a Christian. But that doesn't make you a Christian. It makes you a hypocrite. A hypocrite is an actor. And so we can learn how to be a good Christian. But it's not what you learn to be, it's what you become. Because it's really a work of grace in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So again, this is the day, amen, that we remember, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. So after the Lord's resurrection in Luke 24:46, this is before his ascension, he said to them, thus it is written, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. So before they were to go out in verse 47, right? to preach the message, he said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Very important. You see, there are Christians today that are faithful. They love the Lord. They go to church, but they don't know about the power of God. So they strive in their own strength to be a good witness for Jesus. And, you know, unfortunately, it's because sometimes they're just not taught about it. They don't know about it. If we don't know about it, we can't receive it. Amen. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we hear the promises and what God has made available to us, we can then by faith receive what God has. And God doesn't make you work for it, by the way. When we pray for someone to receive the Holy Spirit, they just need to say, thank you, Lord, that if I ask, I'll receive. That you come as a child. And sometimes you'll pray for people. And, oh, God, give it to me. God, give it to me. Well, did you ask for it? Yes. Do you think the Lord wants to give you the Holy Spirit? Yes, he says it's the Father's good pleasure, right? To give you the kingdom. But he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So when we come to him, we ask, but we have to have faith that what we ask for, we actually receive. And once you receive from God, then there needs to be an activation of that gift by a step of obedience. By opening your mouth and begin to declare the praises of God. Amen. Or speaking in new tongues or prophesying or whatever. You know, the Lord will have you to lay hands on the sick and you will watch the sick recover because the Holy Spirit has come. The power of God for our service. That's what this is about. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power, dunamis, dynamic working power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. And verse 9, now when Jesus had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud. Amen. And a cloud received him out of their sight. In Acts chapter 1, verse 12, it says, and they, these were the followers of Jesus, returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And what did they do in verse 14? They didn't play cribbage, right? These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So they were very deliberate in this because the Lord told them to wait. But what did they do? They waited on the Lord. And you know, there are times when we need to wait on the Lord for something to happen. But don't expect everything to be like a drive-through meal. That's the problem. Is that we aren't anything right now. If we don't get it immediately, then God's must not going to be doing it, right? And so if you've had to wait for a really good meal while it was being cooked, and you can smell and it's like, oh, man, I just know that's going to be good, you know. But you're going to have to wait for a good meal, all right? Now, you can get a happy meal all you want, but, you know, it's not going to compare to like a really nice prime rib or something or whatever you may like. But God is like that. God serves only the best. And anything that's worth anything is worth waiting on, including marriage. Come on, somebody. Just a little side note there. We're moving right back here to center. So, but these all continued. They continued with one accord. They were together. They were unified. They all had a single mind, a single purpose, a single focus. And they're going to wait on the promise that Jesus had given them, that they would be endued with this power from on high. So that's what happened. And supplication, by the way, means there was a sense of desperation and earnestness in prayer. It was an earnest entreaty. And so sometimes, guys, you know, how many know what I'm talking about? You've been in a place where you were just desperate for God, desperate for an answer, desperate to hear from God, desperate for God's intervention. You know, that's a supplication. That's where you're really just pouring your heart out to God. And, you know, I really believe you will get out of it what you put into it. I really believe that you will reap what you sow. And what you sow in the Holy Spirit, eventually in God's timing, will come back to you. Amen. And that's why we should not become weary in well-doing. That's why we should continue to pray and seek the Lord. Amen. And not just do a pop-up prayer on Sunday morning, but have a life of communion with the Lord, a prayer life. Amen. So that you are well watered. Amen. That you are well oiled, if you will. Amen. But we need to wait on God's timing, because God wants to move in America. Can you say amen? And I believe that God is beginning to move in America, but you and I as God's people need to continue to press in, amen, and continue to pray and to seek God, amen, to call on Him and to get ourselves right first. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because God will hear from heaven when the people that are called by His name humble themselves and pray and seek His face. Amen. And then what? Turn from their wicked ways. So guys, I'm responsible for you. The way I live my life will influence others around me. Amen? And the same thing is true for you. Your life is going to be an influence on somebody. So we need to be very careful that we walk carefully with the Lord, but we wait on God's time. And that's what they were doing. They were together. They were praying. They were crying out to God. And then there was this suddenly, wasn't there? Hallelujah. Now, in Luke 24:49, the Lord said this, I'm sending a promise of my Father upon you, right? But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And what was the promise that he was talking about? Here it is from Joel, right? It was the Holy Spirit, Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So isn't it true that amazing things happen when people come together in unity? Even when man is united in the natural, he can accomplish much. You look around you. Somebody had to get together and build this building. Amen. Somebody had to have a vision. Somebody had to have a blueprint. Amen. And people had to commit themselves to work together to build this building. Amen. And so there was purpose. All right. For this building, amen, that it would house a congregation. We can come and meet here, amen. So the same thing is true, is that God is looking for builders. He's looking for participants. He's looking for people that will come together, amen, for His purpose. That we might work and serve His interests. That we might be a people, amen, that are harvesters in the harvest field. Because the harvest is ripe. People need the Lord. And God's looking for someone who'll say, here am I, Lord. Send me. You know, here's a negative from Scripture in Genesis 11. Remember the Tower of Babel? You know, the people all got together, but it was a negative because they didn't want God in the situation. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Let us, right? And a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So here we see man's united attempt to rebel against his creator and totally disregard God's right to rule over him. The same thing is happening today. That's what we're seeing again. Man saying, we don't want God. We want to be God, and we're going to do it our way. And they're trying to silence the voice of the church. But God's voice will never be silenced. And God will accomplish that which He set forth to do. Amen. And when He sends forth His word, it will accomplish what it was sent out to do. So remember, God also instructed Noah after the flood. He said in Genesis 9:1, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. The people said, we don't want to do that. We just want to hang out and have one big party, and we're going to put a few elite people in charge of everything. Human beings, apart from the Lord, are very narcissistic. We are selfish by nature. We are full of ourselves naturally. That's why we need Jesus to change our hearts. Amen. Because when Jesus came, He wasn't about Himself. It was about the Father and His business. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. So Jesus represented the Father's interests in the world. I mean, He had to deny Himself that He might do the Father's will. And likewise, God is calling us to join and partner with Him today, to deny ourselves, partner with Him and do His will. And whatever you do unto the Lord, amen, and in agreement with the Spirit of God, with the will of God, you'll never lose. So they got together and said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. So positive things, though, happen, don't they? When God's people get together, united under God's rule. And Psalms 133:1 talks about, behold, how good and what, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Amen. It's very important that you and I are united together in Christ. Amen. That we are thinking and speaking the same thing, that we're in the will of God together. God calls us as a team. It's not about one person doing all the work. Amen. It's about you and I joining together for the mission of the Lord. Amen. And we can do much more when we're united. I know there are a lot of lone rangers out there that don't feel it's important to be part of a body. Well, that's a deception of the enemy. God created you for the body. It's like the hand saying, I don't need to be with the rest of the body. You're not going to do very well, are you? But true unity is not just getting together and determining that we're going to get along. How many know the world has been trying to do that for a long time? We'll just pass a few more laws, legislate a little bit more, and we're going to have world peace. Not. Turn to your neighbor and say, not. Right. The only way we're going to have world peace is when the Prince of Peace comes to rule and reign over all the earth. Jesus Christ will establish universal peace. Amen. Hallelujah. And every knee will bow to him. Every tongue will confess him as Lord. Hallelujah. So we bow now. Today is the day of salvation. So some things are worth waiting for. Amen. You remember Elisha had to wait on Elijah. He had to be faithful. And he wouldn't let him go. Everywhere Elijah went, so did Elisha go. Amen. Until the day came when Elijah was caught up and then he would receive the double portion. He would receive the mantle. Amen. We see Jacob. He wrestled with the angel to the break of day, right? In Genesis 32, in verse 26, Jacob said to the angel, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. You know, when we pray, earnest entreaty, we need to learn how to pray through. You really need a miracle. You really need a touch from God. You really need to get out of that funk that you feel that you're in. How many know you just need to pray through? Amen. How many know that the Lord wants to bring deliverance? He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring restoration. He wants to revive you. He wants you to be on fire for him. He doesn't want you bound by fear or by anxiety or by anything. He wants his people to be completely free. And how many know that God has enough power to completely set you free? I mean, completely set you free. But we have to be willing to give God the whole offering. Because what God has, he can bless and multiply. But not until we're willing to give him the whole thing. Sometimes we come to God and we say, God, take my life. But while we're singing the song, God, take my life. But we're not really meaning it. And, well, God, you can have this part of my life. But freedom comes when you give him the whole offering. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, that's what it took for me to be free, to come into salvation, to be free, to have the yoke of the oppressor broke off of me, is when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. That's when things changed. Before that, I came to God because I needed help with this or needed help with that or because I was in trouble again. God, how many have said that? God, if you just get me out of this, I'll serve you. No. It don't work until God sees your heart. He knows the heart, amen? And when your heart is right and your heart is positioned to receive, then you'll receive. And what is the right position of the heart? It's a humble heart, a heart that says, God, I give up. God, I surrender to you. I give up the fight. And as you surrender your life to Jesus, then he has someone that he can work with. Then he has the clay in his hands that he can mold and make a beautiful vessel out of, amen? But not until you're willing to give it up. Give up your life. And that's why Jesus said, if any man will save his life, he will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you will find it. I never regret surrendering my life to Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. Unless you haven't done it yet. But see, God wants a full surrender. God wants a people that are fully committed to Him. A faithful people. When you are a spouse to be married, amen, your spouse does not want you cheating on them, amen. They want you to have eyes for no one else. They want you to be saving yourself and waiting for the day when you consummate the marriage. Can you say amen? We are a spouse to Jesus, amen, and we're to keep ourselves for Him. Come on, somebody. That means that I have eyes for only Him. I shall have no other gods before Him. He will be Lord of all, amen. People change. I changed when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Guys, I know what it's like to just to try to make adjustments and improve my life and make this change and a new resolution on New Year's. You know, I'm just going to do this new thing here this year, and about 2 weeks later, you're still doing the same old thing again. You haven't changed anything. Some of you are able to do that. But how many of us had made pledges we're going to do this on New Year's and not follow through with it? How many went out and bought one of those exercise bikes and says, you know what, I'm going to start working out? And as you know, it's a clothes hanger today, right? All right. And that's why we need the power of God. You understand? In ourselves, we are weak. We don't have the strength we need to accomplish the will of God. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew His disciples could not do the mission except they'd be endued with power from on high. They had to wait on the Lord's coming. Amen? And the Lord came on that day, hallelujah, by His Spirit and baptized all of them. Hallelujah. They all spoke with tongues. Amen. As the Spirit gave them utterance. They spoke in known languages of that time. And they were all amazed at what God did. Everything we do must be done in love. Everything has to be done in love. That means it has to be from the heart of God. It's not of me, but it's of Him. So we, Lord, make me a vessel. Purify my heart. Lord, I ask You to topple everything in me that's not of You. Lord, topple every idol in my heart. I don't want anything to come between us. I want to be a pure vessel. I want to be a vessel that God can use. I want to see, amen, the Lord, hallelujah, work through my life and touch other people, hallelujah. Because the Lord's looking for somebody that will be that vessel for Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, that would be me. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, our spirit will begin to come alive. We'll begin to pray. Even in a heavenly language, according to 1 Corinthians 14:14. And I don't care if you agree with me or not, by the way. I've got the time right now, so. Verse 14, and nobody's left yet, so that's good. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Oh. What does it say? The Bible says, what's our authority today? My spirit prays if I pray in a tongue. But my understanding is what? Unfruitful. It's my spirit praying, not my mind. Okay. So verse 15, what is the conclusion then? I will what? Pray with the spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Do we sing in the spirit? Do we pray in the spirit? We pray in the Holy Spirit. We pray in the understanding. Amen. So what did Jude instruct us to do? Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, we just read that praying in the Spirit is what? Praying in tongues. All right? As God gives utterance. Now, I'm not here to suggest that you cannot pray an anointed prayer in a known language, in English or whatever language that you know, is native to you. Because we can have an anointing, amen, on the prayers that we pray in the language that we know. But I have found in so many cases that it's just so much easier. Amen. Just to get into that place with the Holy Spirit and allow the Lord to just kind of take the reins and begin to pour through me. Amen. And he always prays according to the will of the Father. And it's very important, guys, because as you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're actually building up your spirit man. Now hear me. God wants his people strong in him. We are to be strong in the Lord, in the power. Dunamis, the same word, you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The dunamis of his might. Strong in the Lord. And how do we do that? By praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourself on your most holy faith. Praying what? In the Holy Spirit. So as you are built up, as your spirit, if you will, is built up and empowered and strengthened, there will be a greater manifestation, amen, of God's Spirit through your life. Hello. So what we want to do, hear me, is we want to not have a half full cup, amen, but we want to be an overflowing cup. Amen. So that we will be effective witnesses. That people, when they encounter you and I, they're encountering the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. And there will be evidence that God is in your life. Amen. If you are abiding in the Lord, there will be evidence that you are a follower of Jesus. And it's not just because you told somebody that. There's a lot of people that claim to be Christians. Moving right along. We want to be Christians, amen? And we want to be the kind of people that God can use. And if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and allow God to immerse us, to baptize us with the Holy Ghost, we will be empowered, amen, to be a witness for him. And what will happen is you'll become bold. You'll become strong. You will be fearless because it's the Lord who gives you a supernatural confidence to do his will. If I feel weak, sheepish, shy, amen, I just need more of him. Pray through. Pray, amen, until you be endued with power from on high. How many know that they didn't just pray one time in the book of Acts, amen? There was other times too when they're under threat that they got together and they had a prayer meeting. They said, Lord, look upon their threats and grant that with all boldness your servants may, you know, prophesy. We may speak your word boldly. And when they were had prayed that, the place where they were assembled did what? It was shooken again. Amen. God shook the place and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. How many here want the Lord to use you? I hope everybody wants to be a vessel for God. Amen. If we want to be effective, then we need to have a hunger and a thirst for the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the presence of God. Because it's of him and not of us. God gives us his spirit, amen, so that his spirit can work through our lives, hallelujah, and touch the world around us. But God first wants us to get ourselves in position so we can receive from him by humbling ourselves and admitting, and God is allowing you to see that, and you, allowing me to see that, that we don't have what it takes to do what we're called to do. And that's a good thing because then I'm in a place where I become hungry. I say, God, I need you. God, I'm desperate for your presence. God, I need you to work in and through my life. God, I ask you to give me boldness, supernatural boldness, that I can do what I'm called to do. Hallelujah. So the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a baptism of power for the work of service, that we might serve the Lord effectively, be effective witnesses for Jesus. That's why it's not an option for God's people. We need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, some people say, well, I got baptized and I've got the Holy Spirit. Well, yes, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you don't belong to Jesus. The Bible's very clear about that. Amen. You must have Christ in you, the Spirit of the Lord in you, right? But how many know that you can have a guest in your house and yet not give him permission to have rule over that house? So we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit, who is really the Spirit of Christ in us. And so God wants his people to be endued with his power so we can be effective witnesses. Now, let me just say this. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, hear me. And this is what I believe. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying it. And I know I give an account to everything that I say to you. I take the Word of God. I take the Lord seriously. But the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not the new birth. It's not regeneration. And I'm going to explain why. Remember the apostles who were sent out by the Lord. He sent out the 12 and then later he sent out 70. He anointed them and gave them anointing, amen, to go out and cast out demons, right? To proclaim the kingdom, heal the sick, right? They had received an anointing, but the same Lord who had anointed them then said, wait in the city of Jerusalem for the promise to come upon you. After I leave, I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So he told them later, the same ones whose names, by the way, were written in heaven. How do we know that? Luke chapter 10, verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And what did he say in verse 20? He said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather what? Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I kind of believe that that means that they were okay, that they were saved, all right? The Lord was taking care of them, all right? He says, your names are in heaven, because the Bible is very clear. If your name is not in heaven, all right, then you're in trouble. All right, so they had received an anointing, they had operated in that, but the Lord told the same believers, followers, to later, well, to wait on him, and they would be endued with power from on high. All right, now, the people of Samaria, here's another one. They were Christians. They later received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. All right, the Samaritans believed Philip's preaching, and they were baptized in water. But the Samaritans had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit until Peter and John laid their hands on them. So there's a distinction here. Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were what? They were baptized. They were water baptized. Verse 14. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, who were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. Upon, remember, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were filled. All right. Whenever a king, a priest, all right, a prophet, was anointed. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. They were anointed with oil. Then they would begin their ministry. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon them as they were anointed with oil. All right. The Holy Spirit came upon them and they became, amen, powerhouses for God. They were able to do the mission that God called them to do. Well, the same thing is happening here, guys, is that God wants his people to be endued with power from on high so we can be effective witnesses in this world. Amen. Because our faith is not to be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So when they came down in verse 15, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 17 says, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Who were they? They were believers that had been baptized, but it wasn't until they laid hands on them that they were what? Received the Holy Spirit. The Ephesians, same thing. They were believers in Jesus, but they had not even heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19:1, and it happened when Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They were believers. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Same thing is true today. There are Christians that don't know what's available to them in the Lord. They think that I came and I said a sinner's prayer and I'm all done. That's only the beginning. That's the foot in the door. If it was genuine. And then Paul said, and John indeed baptized with a water or baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ, right? Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's what? Water baptism. Verse 6, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. This is why we need what God is offering. This is a promise to his church today. God needs his church to be empowered, amen, so that we can be effective. Listen, hell, the devil, is not threatened by a powerless, anemic church. We need to be, if you will, gluttons for the presence of God, because we know without him, we can do nothing. And we are like a container that needs to be filled again and again. Amen. We need to keep the oil topped off. It's my responsibility to keep the flame, you see. God supplies the oil. I maintain the flame. Come on, somebody. I don't rely upon other Christians to maintain the flame for me. Amen. Because we can come to the Lord ourselves and receive. Amen. But this is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon people. They become, as Saul, a different man. And Saul came down, remember, with the prophets, and they were prophesying on harps. And he said, Samuel told him, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you shall become another man. In other words, you're going to be able to do things that naturally you couldn't do. How many know in Christ we are supernatural people? And we are to do supernatural things. Because it's got to be God working through our lives, touching and healing and setting captives free. It's not of us, it's of him. But God needs a vessel that's yielded and willing to come to him and drink and drink and drink until you are filled. Amen. So that out of the overflow of that, amen, others around you will automatically be ministered to. And it'll be very little effort on your part, because it'll be the Lord who's doing the speaking. It'll be the Lord who's doing the healing. It is the Lord who'll be doing the deliverance. Are you hearing me, somebody? It's too many times we're trying to do all this stuff for Jesus in our strength. Well, I don't really need to pray that much. I mean, I said a little prayer, you know, a while ago. And then, you know, I don't believe, I've said this many times, but I don't believe Jesus ever got burnt out in ministry. Why? Because he stayed close to the Father. He stayed immersed, amen, in his presence all the time. And the same thing is true for us, guys. The Christian life actually is not supposed to be difficult. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. That means that we need to rely upon the power of God's Holy Spirit to live the life that we're called to live with very little effort, except being cooperative with the Holy Spirit in this process and saying, yes, Lord. You want me to pray for somebody? You want me to lay hands? Amen? You want me to share my testimony? Whatever God is calling you do it by the power and the ability that God supplies you through his Spirit. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The church in America needs to awaken. Amen? And be filled with the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't want any more sleepy saints. Come on, somebody. I pray, Lord, wake me up. Wake me up inside. Lord, bring me to full alert. Bring me to full flame. Lord, I want to be burning for you. Hallelujah. I want to be red hot for you. And he just amazes me, you know, how the Lord works if we're willing and obedient. Just to humble ourselves. Can we turn the TV off long enough? Can we set the tablet down long enough? Can we get out of the phone long enough to get into God's presence? Hello, somebody. And get refilled and get refired. It's the only way we're going to be effective. The only way we're going to get over ourselves is by the power of God. And we can't be effective for God if we're full of ourselves. Hallelujah. How can I be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent. First thing, repent of your sins. Turn away from yourself. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So you receive the Holy Spirit by faith in what God has promised and is making freely available to you today. Do you know that? God is making himself available to you today. Are you hungry for him? Do you want more? Do you want to be a more effective witness for God? Well, why don't we pray? I want you to come down and pray. Come on down to the altar. Hallelujah. Let's seek the Lord. Let's call upon his name. The Bible also says to allow others to lay hands on you and pray for you, that you might receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, amen, then you should be laying hands on others, amen, and allow God to work through you to do the same for others, amen? Blessed are those who are hungry. Anybody else want to get in on this? Come on up. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I need more of you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I want everything that you want for me. All that you want, Lord, is what I want. God, yes, saturate us. Fill us with your divine power, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Just cry out to the Lord right now. Supplication. Let it be a desperate. Do you cry? Cry from your heart to God. Say, Lord, I need the power of your Spirit. Lord, I can't do anything without you. God, I ask you to endue me with power from on high in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm just going to anoint you with oil as you're crying out to God. Bless your heart today, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.